we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Ethiopia's Genzebe Dibaba won her third consecutive world indoor title at 3,000 meters on the opening day of action in Birmingham, England. The energetic Andy Edwards reports from Birmingham.
The way Genzebe Dibaba is running, she's going to need a whole new trophy cabinet to accommodate her medal collection, and the majority of them will continue to be golden. Indoor competition appears to bring out the best of her, the tight turns and bends suiting her physique and devastating finishing speed. The women's 3,000 metres was a straight final and offered plenty of quality all round. Kenya had their world 5,000 metre champion Helen Obiri. Sifan Hassan of the Netherlands is a renowned fast finisher, and Britain's Laura Muir was a double European indoor champion last year. The pace for the opening 2 kilometres was nothing special, but Dibaba turned up the heat for the last 1,000 metres. Obiri looked in the shape to follow, so did Hassan and Muir, but the Ethiopians' lead grew. Dibaba came under pressure on the final lap, but had enough in reserve, leaving Sifan Hassan with silver and Laura Muir with bronze. One half of the intended double had been achieved, and Genzebe Dibaba gave a concise verdict before concentrating on the 1500-metre qualifying round on Friday evening.
Yes, I'm very happy about today. This one is a four-time World Indoor Champion. I'm very happy.
The final proved disappointing for Helen Obiri. The Kenyan faded to finish a distant fourth, just holding off Shelby Houlihan of the USA. Obiri recognised what a force Dibaba has become, but hopes for success at the Commonwealth Games in Australia next month.
I think I'm looking forward to do Commonwealth. We have Commonwealth in Gold Coast next month. I think I'm going to do quite good because it's my first time to miss a medal, and I'm going to look forward at least to win there.
Two high jump finals completed the first day's competition, and they also offered competition to savour. Daniel Lysenko, one of the Russians competing under the banner of authorized neutral athlete with respect to the ban on Russia, reversed the outcome of last year's World Outdoor Championships in beating Mutaz Basim of Qatar. Lysenko was superb in reaching 2 meters 36, while Basim, also impressive, cleared 2:33. Germany's Mateusz Sibylko reached new heights with 2:29 for bronze. Maria Lazitskine was odds-on favourite for the women's high jump, and so it proved, the only one to clear 2 metres. Another of the Russians competing under a neutral flag, Lazitskine cleared 2:01 to depose the USA's Vashti Cunningham, the winner in Portland, Oregon, 2 years ago. Cunningham cleared 1:93, the same as Alessia Trost, but took silver ahead of the Italian on countback. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards at the World Indoor Athletics Championships in Birmingham.
Thanks, Andy. There are finals in Birmingham and two events later Friday night in the men's long jump and the women's shot put. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin this Friday's edition of the Wrap of Africa Sporting Headlines on the Sunny Side of Sport with the record transfer fee paid for Democratic Republic of Congo striker Cedric Bakambu, who now owns the title as the most expensive African footballer of all time after completing a $19 million move to Chinese Super League club Beijing Guoan from Villarreal. Bakambu upset Gabon striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang as Africa's most expensive player. Aubameyang moved to Arsenal from Borussia Dortmund for $77 million after penning a 4-year contract in January.
I'm very happy to be here in my new team, and I hope we will make a very good season, and good luck for us.
Staying with football news, one of Africa's five representatives to the summer 2018 Russia World Cup, the Super Eagles of Nigeria, has downplayed the possibility of lifting the most prized trophy in world football. Coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria, General Turao, says the dream of winning the World Cup is a good one, but football fans in Nigeria must be realistic.
When you want to dream and you have the right to dream, you can say that we can win. Everybody can win. But if you are realistic, we are number 52 in FIFA ranking. It would be a wonderful surprise if Nigeria could come already until the quarter or semi-final and to the final. But let's dream and let's hope to do the best.
And now to rugby news. Rassie Erasmus has been confirmed as the new head coach of South Africa's national rugby team, the Springboks, on an unusually long six-year contract, with the former Springboks loose forward given the chance to lead the team through the next two Rugby World Cups in 2019 and 2023. Rassie Erasmus, who played 36 tests for the Springboks from 1997 to 2001 and captained his country in one test, replaced Alistair Kozie, who left as head coach last month halfway through his contract following a dismal 2 years performance.
I've been in the setup since the beginning, and I know what the targets are and what the challenges are and what the obstacles are, and you know, I really think we can make a hell of a contribution, and I wouldn't have taken the job if I thought there was something that's going to stop us from performing.
In table tennis news, Kenyan duo of Sejel Takar and Brian Mutua have been eliminated from the International Table Tennis Federation Africa Continental Cup, which got underway in Nairobi on Thursday. The Kenyans each lost their opening two preliminary round matches at the Kasarani Gymnasium. The three-day event has attracted 32 top players from Africa. The top two players in the male and female category in the tournament will represent Africa in next year's World Table Tennis Championships in Budapest, Hungary. Joseph Okilo is a member of the local organizing committee of the championship.
This is the first continental or global table tennis competition since the World Cup, the first World Cup that was held here in this very stadium in 1989. So it's 30 years later, we have the opportunity to see amongst some of the best world players in the world in table tennis in our home court.
And finally, Ghana will present a total of 72 athletes from 12 disciplines to this year's Commonwealth Games, slated for Gold Coast, Australia, from April the 4th to the 15th this year. These include coaches and other technical officials from the various disciplines such as weightlifting, paracycling, hockey, badminton, swimming, boxing, shooting and cycling. Ghana Olympic Committee President Mr. Ben Noor Mensah is confident that the Ghana contingent to this year's games will perform better.
I can say confidently that I'm very impressed with our preparation for this current Commonwealth Games compared to what we did for Glasgow. We've been very lucky. Most of our athletes are based outside. For instance, weightlifting, I have two of my athletes in the US. I have one in the UK. Okay, the other one is locally based. So I think that we're getting the best of technical support. We're getting the best of training facilities for athletes, especially those who are based outside. And with the local preparation and with the ministry and the NSA coming in to give a bit of support, I think that things have been done much, much better than we did for Glasgow.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Sonny, in Washington, and have a nice weekend.
You have a nice weekend too, Samson. And thanks for that very spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. One of the big international football stories this week was a serious foot injury suffered by Brazilian star Neymar. Joining us now with an update is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Yes, Brazil's brightest football star will not play against Real Madrid next week. Speaking to TV Global, Brazilian team Dr. Rodrigo Lachmar said Neymar has suffered from a stress fracture on his foot, and he will undergo surgery in Brazil at the end of the week.
O tempo de recuperação dessa fratura é em torno de 2 meses e meio a 3 meses.
Dr. Lachmar says recovery time for this kind of fracture is about 2.5 to 3 months, depending on the individual. He says after the surgery, they will know what the situation really is, and after that, they will frequently monitor him. Twitter followers were quick to post their reaction to Neymar's 3-month recovery time. One wrote, "I think this is terrible news. PSG is a great team with a lot of great players, But Neymar is one of the most crucial players for the squad. With such big games ahead, it will be a great disadvantage for PSG not having Neymar in the lineup. Another follower expressed his heartbreak. They should have nailed Madrid when they visited, but sadly it ended 3-1. PSG turning the tables when they meet again will be like pushing a mountain to a different location. It's over for PSG. The story is over. This tweeter still has his fingers crossed. The next 3 months of his life will be dedicated to getting ready, so even if he isn't there for the group stage, if they come out, he'll play in the knockout, hopefully. You probably remember last year Paris Saint-Germain broke a soccer transfer record by paying Barcelona $260 million to buy Neymar. The hope was that he would lead the club to the Champions League title. Well, this follower isn't too optimistic about that, writing, "Bye-bye, Champions League." This tweeter had this to say about the trade itself. "It's funny how much money gets wasted in football, yet fans still have to pay over the top to watch it. The money pumped into the game is just used to overpay and attract players, and none is put back to the fans. But plenty of those fans remain optimistic and have their sights set on the World Cup," like this tweeter. "Everybody else will be tired after a long end to the season. Neymar will be fresh, meaning Brazil will have a big advantage going into the World Cup. And this one, 3 months minimum, he'll be back training in around 2 months, doing full training in 2.5, and be back for the World Cup. He'll be back for sure." And this follower said this about Neymar's injury, "Blessing in disguise for Brazil. Fresh Neymar at the World Cup means Brazil will be heavy favorites for the title, in my opinion." Neymar suffered his injury last Sunday during PSG's 3-0 win over Marseille. Dr. Lachmar will be performing the surgery with the help of Professor Gerard Salon, who represents PSG. Okay, I'm a day late, but it's March!
They're playing back!
It's time for March Madness basketball, and I've got the hashtag to prove it. Hashtag March Madness is full of tweets that came pouring in on March 1st, and people are ready. Here's a little montage. We have made it to the best month of the year. March is here, one of my favorite months. March Madness is around the corner. Woke up in such a great mood. Why? It's officially the greatest month of the entire year. It's a wonderful time of the year. Good day, folks. Welcome to March, where the madness happens. I'm excited. Let's go. It's like Christmas for sports. The 2018 NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Tournament will begin on March 13th. So get your brackets ready, Sonny. I'll talk to you next week. I'll be checking on them. Have a good weekend. Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. And yes, Gwen, I'm looking forward to filling out my March Madness basketball brackets. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder puts his title on the line Saturday night when he fights Luis Ortiz in New York City. Jonah Haskell has this preview for us from New York.
One of the biggest fights of the year will take place this Saturday, March 3rd at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, as Deontay, the Bronx Bomber Wilder of the USA, defends his WBC heavyweight title against Cuba's Luis the Real King Kong Ortiz. Wilder, the current title holder, is an Olympic bronze medal holder, hence his nickname, and is undefeated in his professional career, posting an impressive 39 wins with zero losses. Even more impressive, though, was the feat that Wilder accomplished in his previous fight, a rematch with Canadian heavyweight Bermain Stiverne, also at the Barclays Center. After knocking out Stiverne in the first round, Wilder had not just beaten, but knocked out every fighter he had ever faced, giving him a record of 39 wins, 38 KOs. At the pre-fight press conference on Thursday, Wilder was confident.
"I say I'm the best, I know I'm the best, and I want to prove to the world that I am the best heavyweight in the world, the baddest man on the planet."
Wilder's opponent will be a man with a checkered history in boxing, but who cuts as imposing a figure as anyone in the division. Known as the boogeyman of heavyweight boxing, the man that nobody, not even the belt holders, want to fight, 38-year-old Luis Ortiz comes to Brooklyn looking for redemption after twice having the WBA interim heavyweight title stripped from him due to failed doping tests. But despite that, Ortiz's body of work speaks for itself, as, like Wilder, he has never been stopped in the ring, posting a career record of 28 wins, no losses, and 24 knockouts. Known for his counterpunching skills as well as his immense power, Ortiz is a well-matched challenger to Wilder and has a chance to become the first ever Cuban heavyweight champion. Ortiz spoke through a translator Thursday.
Va a ser algo grande el sábado en la noche. Como ya dije, esta es mi oportunidad, es mi tiempo.
Like I always say, this is my time and this is my opportunity, and it's going to be a great triumph.
It remains to be seen if that will be the case, seeing as Wilder is the favorite. But a few things are for sure. Come Saturday night in Brooklyn, two world-class boxers with a ridiculous amount of punching power between them will square off for the heavyweight title, and Deontay Wilder can't wait.
I can't wait for it. I love this. I love to hit people in the face. I love to see their body on the canvas. That's what I do. So this is the best fight right here This is the best fight in boxing that could be made right here. It don't get no better than this on Saturday night.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Jonah Haskell in New York. Now back to Sonny Young in Washington.
Thanks, Jonah. In African boxing, former world lightweight champion Paulus Moses of Namibia is trying to shake off a controversial loss to Mexico's Ray Beltran in Reno, Nevada. Beltran scored a 12-round unanimous decision over the 39-year-old Moses to win the vacant WBO title belt. But our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, thinks Moses was the winner.
Sonny, it was a terrific action-packed fight, but the scoring by the judges was way, way off. I mean, it was 116-112, 117-111, 117-111, all for Raymond Beltran. For me personally, I scored the fight 7-5 for Paulus Moses from Namibia. He definitely took the fight to Beltran. I think this fight may even be mentioned as one of the fights for 2018. It was all action-packed, fan-friendly fight. On ESPN, millions of fight fans saw this fight, so they know who won. I think homeboy from Africa has nothing to be ashamed of. I believe he won the fight, and they will not give him a rematch.
Why won't there be a rematch?
Because they know what will happen in a rematch. In the rematch, Paulus Moses from Namibia will take it to Raymond Beltran and win the fight. So for them, it's easier for them to run away with the belt and go make some money until Moses is in a position to fight as a mandatory contender.
Another Namibian fighter with some world title belts on his resume, Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo, scheduled to fight Regis Progress. How's this one shaping up, Namdi?
Sonny, this fight is going to happen March 9th in South Dakota. You know, so what are they doing in South Dakota? Why South Dakota? Who's there to watch the fight? But it's a television fight, so the casino puts up the money, so they get the fight. This is a crossroads fight for Ndongo, coming off that brutal knockout by Crawford in August. Taking on an American who is 20-0 with 17 knockouts. It's a very, very, very tough fight for Ndongo, Sonny.
Dangerous fight, it sure sounds like, Namdi, but also interesting that Lou DiBella is basically promoting both fighters. What's that all about?
Well, this is a situation where the American promoter signs the African, puts him in there with his best fighter who's backed with an American television money. You wonder why he made this move. But you don't blame the American promoter. You blame the African and his team that went to the American promoter, because basically, they're going to use the African to build up this young, tough American tiger who will win the fight on television. Ndongo has to do more to win the fight, but if he cannot knock out Progress, I don't think Ndongo will win the fight. And moreover, this fight is for the WBC Interim Super Lightweight belt. This was one of the belts left by Terence Crawford.
Julius Ndongo also involved in a fight outside the ring, Nnamdi, his former manager, filing a lawsuit. VOA! Tell our VOA listeners about that.
Well, his former manager, Nestor Tobias, manager promoter, said he still has a valid boxing contract, promoter's contract with the Blue Machine in Ndongo. He has hired a very, very powerful boxing attorney in America to take on these people that stole his fighter from him. And I think this may be a big distraction for Ndongo because Nestor Tobias wants to be paid from this fight March 9th. And if he has a valid contract, the boxing commission will honor his contract and put the money in escrow, and everybody will be in deep trouble.
We mentioned Lou DiBella earlier, Nnamdi, another veteran boxing promoter here in the States, Don King, the electric-haired man. He's brought some Africans over to the States recently to fight, but it sounds like those roads aren't paved with gold for the Africans.
Sonny, what we see now is very, very sad. Don King, we all know, I mean, electric-haired man, he's put on some of the biggest fights in the history of boxing. What he's doing now is no longer a promoter. He is what we call a fight broker. He gets an African, Rafael Mensah from Ghana, who is 31-0 with 23 knockouts. Who has he fought? Then they put him in a position to fight Alberto Machado from Puerto Rico for the WBA junior lightweight title. And he said, what's going to happen? I mean, who is this guy? Who has he fought? This is the trend we've seen happening in America now. They're bringing guys from Africa and then putting them in there. And then these guys lose and the promoter or the broker gets his money and the African goes home with nothing.
So this is not helping King's reputation any.
Well, Sonny, also remember, King is like in his mid-80s right now. What are you talking about reputation? He's done Rumble in the Jungle. He's done Mike Tyson fights. He's done Larry Holmes fight. What are you talking about, his reputation? His reputation is already sealed, you know. So he don't care about all these little guys coming from Africa, man, you know.
Well, why is he still involved in boxing then?
Well, because he's just, it's like, why is Manny Pacquiao still fighting, you know? Because it's in his blood. He's been doing it for years. And he's doing it towards the end. He doesn't want to go through all this hassle of managing the fighter, putting up fights, or dealing with television. So he's cool with just brokering the fight and gets paid, and the fighter goes his way.
Elsewhere in boxing, Nnamdi, Jose Suleiman, the former chief of the World Boxing Council. He has since passed away, but his name is being carried forth with a new boxing tournament. VOA! Tell our VOA listeners about that.
Sonny, Jose Suleiman was the late president of the WBC, World Boxing Council, and he did a lot for boxing. I mean, lots of new trends, a lot of things, but he was a controversial guy. He passed on, and his son now is Mauricio Suleiman, is the current president of WBC. So in order to keep his legacy alive, Mauricio Suleiman, WBC, and Evander Holyfield have partnered to do this welterweight tournament with 8 welterweights and 4 alternates. This tournament has fighters from all over the world, but 2 names just popped up. We have Chris Van Heerden from South Africa, and we have Frederick Lawson from Ghana, all in the brackets. And Chris Van Heerden will take on Timo Schwarzkopf from Stuttgart, and Frederick Lawson will take on Baishambo Nasiwula from China.
Is the winner of this tournament guaranteed a title shot?
Well, Sonny, this tournament from the best division in boxing will guarantee the winner a good place in the division to fight for the world title.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Finally, I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the March 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nelson Lopes. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This month, President Donald Trump signed the Department of Homeland Security Blue Campaign Authorization Act 2017, which will help combat human trafficking as well as protect victims of this crime. This legislation, signed on February 14th, will officially authorize for the first time the Department of Homeland Security's, or DHS, Blue Campaign, which is the unified voice for DHS efforts to combat and raise awareness regarding human trafficking. Working in collaboration with law enforcement, government, non-governmental, and private organizations, the Blue Campaign supplements the department's ongoing efforts and strives to protect the basic right of freedom and to bring those who exploit human lives to justice. Through the Blue Campaign, DHS raises public awareness about human trafficking, leveraging partnerships and existing resources to educate the public to recognize human trafficking and report suspected instances to law enforcement. The Blue Campaign also works in collaboration with DHS components such as Homeland Security Investigations, Customs and Border Protection, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Centers, and others to offer training to law enforcement and other stakeholders to increase detection of human trafficking and to protect victims and bring suspected traffickers to justice. This legislation will allow Blue Campaign to continue this critically important work. DHS is responsible for investigating human trafficking, arresting traffickers, and protecting victims. DHS also provides immigration relief to non-U.S. citizen victims of human trafficking. DHS utilizes a victim-centered approach to combat human trafficking, which places equal value on identifying and stabilizing victims and investigating and prosecuting traffickers. The department understands how difficult it can be for victims to come forward and work with law enforcement due to their trauma, and remains committed to helping victims feel stable, safe, and secure. In a proclamation designating January 2018 as National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, President Trump called human trafficking a sickening crime at odds with our very humanity. An estimated 25 million people are currently victims of human trafficking for both sex and labor, he noted. Human traffickers prey on their victims by promising a life of hope and greater opportunity while delivering only enslavement. Through the Department of Homeland Security's Blue Campaign, he said, all Americans can learn to recognize the signs of human trafficking and how to report suspected instances.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown.
Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.